On November of last year, God began to speak to me about the year to come, this year, okay? And normally he kind of gives me a word for nations or whatever. But I felt the Lord speak to me and say, next year, you will carry a message of favor. Wherever you go, the one thing that you will carry this year is the message of favor. And so today I want to come and bring you a message of favor. So you've got a Bible, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Unusual passage. We'll pick it up at verse 1, okay? But before we go there, let me say this. It's important. Today I want to talk about connecting with the favor you need to secure the destiny that you're believing for. Let me say that again. It's important this year, whatever else happens, that you connect with the favor that you need to secure the destiny or the things that you are believing for. And that's what we see here in Joshua chapter 2. It says this in verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. And then just bring it down a few verses to verse 8. It says, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land to you, and a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and in the earth below. An incredibly interesting passage, very interesting. And here's the thing, like I said, here's my big idea. You need to connect this year with the favor you need to secure the destiny that you're looking for. See, everybody in this room is believing either for someone or something this year, aren't we? Could be a position or a person, a promotion or a project, a dream or a destiny. Could be a change in your personal circumstances or situation, or for your city and your culture. Whatever it is or whoever it is you're believing for, you need to connect with favor to see that achieved. Here's the first thing about favor. Favor is received, not achieved. Let me say that again. Favor is received, not achieved. Now, you can increase in favor and you can grow in favor by stewarding it, but first and foremost, favor is always received and never achieved. Favor's always accepted before it's acted upon. See, I see so many Christians putting the cart before the horse. They're trying to act in favor before they've received favor. And they're trying to earn favor from God rather than receive favor from God. I love what A.W. Tozer says. He's my hero in the faith. I've got most of his books, and he said this. He says, he was talking about the first announcement when the angels declared the birth of Jesus. He says this, peace on earth and goodwill to all men in whom his wrath rests. Is that what it says? What does it say? On whom his favor rests. And A.W. Tozer says this, we dwell under friendly skies. What a beautiful picture. Do you know, I love the Jim Carrey film, Bruce Almighty. There's a bit in that where he is, it's kind of like he's fighting and arguing with God, and he's driving to have this showdown with God, and his car, his tire bursts, and he jumps out, and he shouts at God, says, smite me, almighty smiter. Smite me down. And it's a funny part in the film, but that's his view of God. But you know what? That may be your view of God today. That may be your worldview, that God is in heaven just waiting for a chance to smite you down, rather than the fact that we live under friendly, favorable skies. See, we hear a lot of talk, and we have had over the last 6 or 7 years, about open heavens. I love this. What about favored heavens? What about we live under not just an open heaven, but a favored heaven? On whom his favor rests. Now, what do we mean by favor? Let me tell you what I mean by favor. I mean the visible, tangible, demonstrable evidence of God, that God is with you and for you as an individual and us as a group of people, that's recognizable to those around us. It's incredible. I'm talking about favor that is evident and that cannot be explained by your gifting, talents, or abilities. You see, at some point, your gifts, talents, or abilities will only take you so far. And it's favor that takes you the rest of the way. It's favor that takes you the rest of the way. And we're living in days, whether you realize it or not, folks, we're living in days of incredible favor. This nation is on the precipice of an awakening like we have never seen. Now, you might say, well, we don't see it, John. Anybody know the outworkings of a tsunami? Do you know how a tsunami works? A tsunami works this. I'm not a geologist or anything else, okay, but I've been kind of looking at this. Tsunami works when the tectonic plates underneath the seabed come together and push against each other, one pushing the other one up. Now, it's maybe thousands below the sea or whatever. And you don't see the effects of the tsunami right away. It's just a slight bump, and that's where we are. That's where we are in Scotland. The tectonic plates of the favor of God have bumped together. It's been pushed up, and the wave is yet to come. Now, you may be saying, well, I don't see the wave, so the favor's not here. The favor happened below. And often what God does in terms of his workings is always below the surface before it's evident upon the surface. Let me say that again. Often God's workings are below the surface before they're evident upon the surface. So don't mistake, because you can't see something, that that's the absence of God working. It's actually the very fact that God is working. You need to realize that. So that's favor. And the thing we find about this, there's loads of principles I want to bring out, but a few, and more importantly, for this chapter is this. First thing we learn about favor in Joshua chapter 2 is favor precedes you. Favor is always prevenient. While it's true that David may have said in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Other translations say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy may follow us, but favor goes before us. You know, there's favor in your future. There's favor in your future. Well, 2-3 years believe that. You know, we might go 50-50 if one of friend. You need to believe there's favor in your future. And you need to connect with that favor to secure that future, regardless of your present or current circumstances. Favor goes ahead of you and goes before you. See, before the two spies reached Jericho, the testimony of the Lord had reached Jericho. See, when the two spies are in dialogue with the prostitute, I love this story, it is brilliant. And in the dialogue, she says, we have heard, in verse 8, what the Lord done. In verse 10, we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea when he brought Israel out of Egypt. We have heard what you've done to the two kings east of the Jordan. What did they hear? What had these unbelievers, people far from God, heard? God's favor towards his people in the past and in the present. God's favor. And we need people with these four walls. See, we exist in here for the people out there. The problem with most of the church is we love having great meetings, falling down, getting back up, somebody come and pray for us, prophesy over us, and we have virtual church. We pray and we cry out for burdens and say, God, bring them in. God says, that's your job. That's your job. My command is go into all the earth and make disciples of all nations. We're struggling to disciple individuals, and God has called us to disciple nations. What does that look like? I'll tell you what it sort of looks like. In Cosmic Coast, James and Gillian are there. They've seen almost 2,600 to 3,000 people saved since February 22nd of last year. Is that right, James? I like to get the exact figures. And I remember when this was all kicking off, God spoke to me one day before I was going to work and says, this, I think at that point 1,000 people had been saved. That's brilliant. I'd love to see 1,000 people saved in Glasgow in a short space of time. And I believe we will. And I was 10 past 2, and I went Thursday afternoon, ready to go to work. And Lord said to me, tell him, it was a Wednesday afternoon. He says, that is not the harvest. This is a prelude to the harvest. That was in the March time. And you know what? What they're experiencing is not the harvest. It's a prelude to the harvest. The harvest is yet to be. The harvest is yet to come. There's favour in their future. But not just their future, there's favour in our future. I've been doing a lot of research running about that. And a revival took place in Causeway Coast, Corain, 1859. It jumped, 100,000 people in the whole island were saved. It jumped across to Scotland and 300,000 people were swept into the kingdom. We tend to forget that. It jumped into England, 600,000 people were saved. And historically, that day times, there would be something in the region of 8 or 9 million people saved. That was to happen today. Recounts of God's past favour. That's what Rahab told them. She says, look, we've heard what God did 40 years ago when you come out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and we'd heard what you'd done a couple of months ago when you defeated those two kings. Wouldn't it be great, and I believe we need that, far from God, recounting for us the favour of God towards us that creates a change in their hearts. Imagine that. Imagine going into Glasgow City Centre and meeting a group of prostitutes and say, let me tell you what your God has done. We need the unbelievers to tell the believers what God has done. Sometimes we're so familiar with God and so familiar with his goodness and his acts that we kind of just treat them as nothing. And we need the unbeliever to tell the believer the greatness of what God has done. And that creates a change in them and it creates a change in us. Your favor awaits you. Your favor is recounted by those around you to secure the destiny that you're believing for. And here's the thing, in verse 10, we find a couple of things. Not only does God's favor go before you, but God's favor, she says, listen, she recounts two experiences in two entirely different generations. She talks about how when God led Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea, that whole generation had died apart from two people, Joshua and Caleb. You see how Joshua does something different? Moses sent 12 spies, Joshua sends two secretly, Moses sent publicly. Incredible. Why would they do that? Because he'd learned from Moses' mistake. See, sometimes the crowd are not always right. Only two believed and the other 10 disbelieved. And Joshua never sent the spies out to spy the whole land, but one specific city, Jericho, because he knew if he could take Jericho, he could take the rest of the land. And what had happened? God was already in Jericho. What if God is already in where you're called to conquer? What a thought. What if God is already where you're called to be? Fact is, God is always already where you're called to be. Remember Peter in the water? Peter's in the boat. Where's Jesus in the midst of the storm? No, he's not asleep. That's another passage. He's standing in the midst of the storm. And Peter says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you. He says, come. And you need to recognize, no matter what happens this year, Jesus is always previous in your storm. He's always standing in the midst of your storm. He might not take you out of it, but you can be assured that he is in the center of it. He's went before you. He's went ahead of you because he knows what storms are coming. He also knows what favor. And so she counts for them two instances and experiences, two entirely different generations. And this tells me this, that favor is multi-generational. Not just for you and your 2.4 kids. Not even just for your kids, their kids, and their kids' kids. Like it says in Acts 2:39, where Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, says, this promise is for you and your children and your children's children, to as many as who are far off, to as many as the Lord our God will call. What if your church isn't what is represented today, but is more out there than in here? I like the fact we had to bring up more chairs. What do chairs speak of? Space. Chairs speak, you're awaiting somebody. And you need to create more space for people coming. So it's multi-generational. Not only this, but your favor is continuous. See, some Christians believe that God just gives you a little bit of favor and then that's it. And it's for a season, don't we? But we forget John 1:18 says, from the fullness of his grace we've received one blessing after another. Favor upon favor. Now, there might be an ebb and flow to your favor, but because there's an ebb right now does not mean to say that it's absent. Favor is constantly continuous. And you need to remember that. So, for example, you see the life of Joseph. Joseph is a 17-year-old favored by his father, demonstrated tangibly evidence to the rest of his brothers because of the tunic that he wore. His brothers, then he receives two dreams. saying that he's going to rule over his brothers and his family. His brothers see him coming a long way off because he's got to bring reports. He's a grass, okay? He likes snitching on his brothers and sisters and telling his dad, father, what his brothers are up to. They see him coming a distance off in Genesis 37. You can see this story in 38. See, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and see what becomes of his dreams. Listen, folks, you might kill the dreamer, but you can never kill the dream. Just ask Martin Luther King. He says, I have a dream. One day that all men will be treated equally in the United States, and then Barack Obama, first black president in the United States. You may kill the dreamer, but you can never kill the dream. And there's nothing as powerful as a dream whose time has come. Nothing more powerful than a time whose dream has come. And so they say, let's kill him. What they do is, rather than kill him, they say, they throw him in a cistern, take his tunic, say, listen, let's not kill him. Let's make some money from him. Let's just sell him. After all, he's a brother. What a dysfunctional family that is. One breath they want to murder him, next minute, let's just sell him, get some money. But remember, Joseph's God has revealed that he's going to be ruling over his family. He's sold as a slave into Egypt. He goes into Potiphar's household, and the Bible, there's this phrase throughout Joseph's life that says this, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. You see this phrase sneaking up in Joseph's life, in the darkest moments of his life, when he's falsely accused of rape and thrown in prison, and the verse comes up again, and the Lord was with him. Now I'm sure if I was wee Joe, I'd have been saying, wait a minute, God. I'm supposed to be favored of my father. Now I'm exiled by my brothers. I've been sold as a slave. Things were going great in Potiphar's house. It was going really great. Now I'm falsely accused of rape. And I'm in here with all these guys. They don't like people like me. Where is the evidence of your favor, God? See, if all you're looking at is your circumstances around what God has promised, you will miss the favor that you need to connect with to secure the destiny that you're believing for. You might have some tough times this year, but you need to recognize that the Lord is with you. You might know that, John. I don't feel it. Well, Jesus says in Matthew 28, and lo, I am with you always to the very ends of the age. So if he's with you, he's with you. What we need to do is increase in our awareness of his presence and cultivate that. See, I don't pray for God to be with me. If he's not with me, then I need to get myself sorted out because he says he is with me. I need to recognize, I pray, Lord, help me to recognize your presence in every situation and to recognize what you want to do. So favor is kept for you as well, and it waits an appointed time for its full manifestation. It's like this. When you sow a seed, what are you sowing? What are you sowing when you sow a seed? Alan says potential. When you sow a seed, what are you sowing? You're sowing for the future. You're sowing a seed. Let's not get too technical first. You're sowing what is for what you hope will be. You're sowing today for a better tomorrow. You're sowing not just for potential, but for the realization that things can be and should be better as a result of what you have sown. Now, what if, here's a thought, what if God has sown into your life favor? And that favor is just waiting in a conjecture and an amalgamation of circumstances, situations, and everything else in your life to come to its full manifestation so that others around you can see it. What if? Here's the other thing about favor you need to see from this chapter, and this is what I love probably more than anything else. Favor comes to us in the most unexpected places. God gave Joshua favor in his city. Not in the highest place, but in the lowest place. Not in the religious places, but in the houses that were repulsed. These spies go and find themselves where? In the house of a prostitute. Some theologians and stuff try to say it's an innkeeper, but it's not, because you look at Hebrews chapter 11, says Rahab the prostitute. I love the scriptures because it's bold, it's clear, and it's honest, and it's truthful. Now, I'm sure they went in there, maybe they knew this woman was like that, but no one would have thought anything of it because they'd probably seen many men come and go for that house. Probably seen thousands, if not hundreds, come and go for that house. But somebody says, listen, somebody takes a report to the king, says, listen, the people who are not from within Jericho and they've come specifically to spy out the land. And the king hears word of that and sends a message, says, listen, bring out those two men, or basically, you're going to be killed. And she risks her life because of what? The favor of God that she's seen on the people of God. She was willing to risk something more than some of the people of God are. And so God gives Joshua favor in the city, not in the midst of the influential, but in the midst of the immoral. I'm going to let you think about that. What if God's want to give you favor, not amongst the influential of your city, or the influential people of influence and relationship, but in that person who's considered unclean, unholy, irreligious, far from God, and immoral? I was talking to somebody recently, I'll not mention their names, and I shared this with them, and it brought it and said, you know what? There's favor come to me for this most unexpected place, and it kind of looks very far from God and very irreligious. What do you think about that? It says, God. See, many of us, like those two spies, could miss out on the favor of God because of the place in which it's found. They found favor that they needed to secure their very lives. Where? In the household of one considered unclean. What if revival in this city began, not amongst the politicians or the powerful or the influential, but in the city centre streets, amongst the immoral and the poor? See, revival never begins at the top down. Every politician will tell you who knows anything about politics, things change from the grassroots up. Not for the highest places, but for the lowest places. And that's why your referendum, regardless of what way you voted, was a success, because it galvanized to the grassroots right up. And that word has been used time and time again. What if the favor you need to secure the destiny you're believing for is found in the heart of the immoral rather than the righteous? What if you're trying to curry favor with politicians or people you think is important in church, and yet the person comes in that's broken, has an addict, has been involved in incredibly sinful behavior, your favor lies in them and not with the other one? Sometimes we don't like the packages in which God's favor comes. I used to complain years ago when God would do incredibly awesome things with broken, sinful people, and think, God, how could you? You shouldn't have, couldn't have, and I never thought you would have worked through that person. But you know what? My greatest times of favor have come not with the most influential people in my life, but with those who seem insignificant and inconsequential. With those who have nothing to give in terms of what I can perceive with my natural eye, but have everything to give in terms of the favor of God. See, there's favor lying in unexpected places. That's why Isaiah says, I'm going to give you treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places. Their treasure was in the household of an immoral woman. Their greatest place of safety was in the household of an immoral woman. And sometimes the places we are least likely to go and connect with, and sometimes the people we are least likely to connect with, afford us the opportunity to experience the favor of God like we've never experienced before. And here's three things that Rahab did during that conversation that Joshua needed through the spies. First of all, she says this in verse 8, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. Confirmation. Because God had spoken to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 after Moses had died. And you know, sometimes the first act of securing your destiny is a separation from that which has been previously. It needed a new generation with a new leadership style to enter the promised land. Moses was not allowed. Okay? And God spoke to Moses, now Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all this people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land which I am about to give them. And in verse 3 it says this, every place where you set your foot, I will give to you. Occupation is the first act of possession. Sometimes you really need to go to a place for God to give it to you. Sometimes no use praying and fasting and weeping and crying. Sometimes God says, you know what? Every place you go and set your foot, not every place you pray from, but every place you go to, I will give into your hands. So Joshua receives confirmation. I wonder if the spies knew. This was a word to Joshua. And so here's Joshua hearing through the mouth of somebody who's far from God, irreligious, unclean, unholy, confirmation of what God has spoken to him in the secret place. Imagine that. Imagine if the worst woman or the worst person in this city came in here today and God worked through them and exposed the secrets of their heart and prophesied their destinies. Some of us would be happy with that. Some of us would be really unhappy in that. And probably most of us would dismiss it because we like don't like that package. Don't like the place where it's comfy. I mean, after all, this person's like this. And that's not the case. Here's the second thing Joshua received through Rahab. He received the promise of fulfillment. Because she says, look, all the people are in fear. And in Joshua chapter 1 and in Deuteronomy chapter 2, 25, God spoke to Moses, says, listen, when you go into this land, I'm going to put a fear of you into all the people. And the consternation of that people was the fulfillment of the promise of Deuteronomy 2, 25, where God says, when you go across that land, there might be seven nations bigger than you and stronger than you. Your talent, abilities, and gifting won't get you there and won't get you through it and won't occupy or possess that land, but my favor will. And here's a sign of my favor, the fear of God upon the people who don't know him. There is a fear coming to this land, folks. A healthy respect and reverential fear. Not fear of being punished, but a fear of this God, our God is awesome, isn't he? We're going to see some awesome things this year. Well, I don't know about you. I'm going to see some awesome things. I can't secure your destiny. You need to secure. But here's the thing, folks. Don't get bogged down with your own personal circumstances this year. What if your destiny and what if you're believing for is wrapped around and tightly secured with and connected to the city that you live in? What if God's purpose for your life is connected with the city that you live in or with cities of this nation? But you're missing it in the favor of God to disciple a city and a nation because you're so concerned with your own personal circumstances. I love Rahab. She wasn't concerned about her own personal life or circumstances. She was willing to risk all for the favor that awaited her. And she didn't even know if she would get favored. She says, listen, swear to me that when you enter this land and take possession, as God must have somehow revealed it. She's piecing all this information together. She doesn't know God. She's just piecing together reports and stories that she's heard. And somehow, as we'll come in a minute, she pieces it all together and she makes a confession and a declaration. Now I know that your God is God in heaven above and God below. In the midst of a multicultural society that worshipped all sorts of gods, and she was the lowest of the low in a degraded society, she comes out with a confession. Your God is my God. Your God is God. Incredible. But hold on a minute, Rahab. You need to get your theology sorted out. Listen, we've came for Joshua, and we know what theology is. We know what the power of God. Let's just sit you down. They didn't do that. They just accepted where she was, and they took her from where she was to where she needed to go. And she was the only one out of that city that survived. Here's the third thing that they received. Not just confirmation, consternation, but she gave Joshua the courage to go and conquer Jericho. Your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Moses had said that years and years previously in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 7. It says, your God is the God who is above everything in the earth, everything in the heavens and on the earth below. There's no God like him. And what if, here's why many of us, and I'm going to be bold here, here's why many of us are missing God's favor. Because we think that our cities are dark, dangerous, sinful places. Most Christians want to escape the city and go to the suburbs. I love my city. I have had opportunity after opportunity to go and live different places in the world. I love Glasgow. Glasgow's mental, but it's my Glasgow. Glasgow's crazy, but it's still Glasgow. I love my city. And I believe my city will be transformed. I have absolutely no doubt about that. And it's not going to come for the most powerful, even in powerful Christians. It's going to come for the inconsequential and the immoral and the insignificant and the broken and the destitute. And our city might be, and the cities of our nation might be dark and dangerous and sinful places. That might be a true reflection, but it's not the full reflection. Can you look at, if you're doing the Bible in 1 year, you'll have started off in Genesis 1, it says this, in the beginning God. Then it gives you, God created. So the first thing we learn about God in the beginning is he is a creator. Then it talks about how darkness was over the surface of the deep and the earth was formless. and shapeless. That's not a pretty picture, is it? Some translations say chaos reigned. Now you've got darkness, you've got formlessness, shapelessness, and chaos. A modern day picture of many people's lives in many cities. And you can maybe just see the darkness, the danger, and the sinfulness of your city, but see if you lift your eyes just above that. But it says this, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. Come on. Come on. God is drawn to darkness, and God is drawn to emptiness. It says, and the earth was empty. So God is no drawn to fullness. People who are full don't need God. That's why God said that through Elijah and Elisha, the widow, listen, collect as many empty jars as you can. And as she collected and gathered emptiness and took emptiness before God, God filled it. We're coming before God too full. God's not impressed by our fullness. He wants our emptiness. And like Alan said earlier, Lord, we want more of you this year. God would say to you, I want more of you this year. It's not about you having more of me. It's about me having more of you. That's exactly what it is. We're crying out, oh God, give me. What else can God give us but himself? If you're born again, you know God, Lord Jesus Christ. Where did God come when you get born again? Where did he come? When you had a born again experience, when you gave your life to Christ, where did God take up residence? Where? In your life. How much of God came? All. How much of God do you need if you've already got all? How much more of God? So maybe it's not a case of, like, for years, and I'm not saying of course we press in. I don't press in to get more of God. I press in for God to get more of me. See, we think we're pursuing God when all the time God's pursuing us. He's no lost. We are. Even if we are born again, he's no in the distance. We are. And see, in pressing in, we think we're pressing in to get more of him, and God's secretly wanting to get more of us. He puts his finger, see that? Why don't we change that? Why don't we change this mindset to this? Why don't you have a look at this in your life? It's not about getting more of him. It's about seeing him released more through our lives. It's about getting God and saying, you know what, Lord? I'm not asking you to use me. His friends don't use friends. I'm asking you to work through me. Lord, would you take me, whatever I am, I bring my emptiness before you and ask for your favor to rest and ask for the fullness of that. And I love what Hebrews says, the power of an indestructible life, talking about Jesus Christ. Do you know you have within you when Jesus came to take residence in your life? The power of an indestructible life. I'm not talking about your mortal life, I'm talking about the life of Christ within. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, says, my dear children, whom I am pains of childbirth until Christ is fully formed in you. We need to see, and the people out there need to see, the full formation of the life that God had deposited, whether it be 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. God's wanting more of us this year. And as he gets more of us, we will see more of him revealed and released in our lives. So whether your city's dark and dangerous and sinful, that might be a true reflection, but it's not the only reflection. Like the reason why most of us don't go into those kind of places is because we don't want to be contaminated. We feel as if we hang out with prostitutes and sinners and everything else, somehow their sin's going to leap onto me. I'm going to become like them. I'm sure the guys were like, listen, this woman's house, I mean, we've been here for half a day and we know what she's like. Maybe one's sitting there, we can't go in there. I mean, we're a clean people. We're God's people. We can't associate with somebody like this. And sometimes you're missing out on the favor that God has for you because you're fearing risking being contaminated. But what if by connecting with the people who are living in darkness and sinfulness, rather than you being contaminated, it brings forth a confession for their heart because they're just piecing together. God's already working their lives. They're piecing together things that they've heard throughout the years. And as you go and bring the presence of God, they're able to articulate that unto confession, unto salvation. Like Romans 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth he confesses and believes unto salvation. See, it wasn't until those two spies went to Rahab's house. She'd heard the stories, piecing it together and mumble jumble and listen, God's in heaven. But I believe it's when they got there and the presence of God got there, she was able to articulate it and confess it. What if God's saying this year, hang out in the places you would never go. Doesn't it say you get involved in the things that they do? What if we truly lived up to being the light that we are? The city and the hill. See, the church will never be insignificant or inconsequential. Jesus says it's a city and a hill. The people of God will never be insignificant and inconsequential. The culture that we live in may try and push us to the margins. But we are the salt. And you give people enough, give culture enough seasons of lack of flavor, and they will cry out for salt. They will cry out for favor. Even the most desperate, hardened sinner will say, there's something wrong with our society. We need something to change. And they will cry out for salt. What if favor awaits you this year? What if it awaits you in the most unexpected places and the most unlikeliest of people? What if this year revival begins in Glasgow? Not with the pastors, the preachers, or the Christians. What if it happened in the homosexual community? What if it happened there? What if it happened amongst the immoral? Would we embrace it? I don't think so. But you know what? In the days to come, your mindset, your lifestyle is going to be turned upside down, because God is no concerned about the found. He's concerned about the lost. He leaves the 99, goes after the one. He leaves the 9 coins because it looks for the 1 coin. The Father is extravagant in his pursuit of the one. And he will upset us and he will offend us to bring in the people that we think couldn't, shouldn't, and wouldn't be parties to be parties. So that they're no longer insiders, outsiders looking in, but they become insiders reaching out. Favor, folks. Now here's some of the favor I believe I have to deposit today. Before I came here, I said, God, what do you have for White Inch Church in 2015? And the Lord spoke to me for John chapter 11. It's a very famous passage about the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus dies, and the Bible says in the first few verses at John 11, Jesus hears the report that Lazarus is sick. And so his disciples say, Mom, Jesus, Mom, we'll go on and we'll raise him up. And the Bible says Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. Okay? Now, the Bible says Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They were his friends. Whenever he went to dinner constantly at their house, was very comfortable. He stayed where he was 2 more days. Then when he goes, what he finds is people come out and meet him and say, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But we, even now, we know that God will give you whatever you ask. The Bible, so then it goes on, and Jesus goes to the tomb and says, show me where you've laid him. And he says, Lord, it's been 4 days. What's today's date? The 4th. Lord, it's been 4 days, and I love the old King James, King Jimmy version, as we call it. It says this, and he stinketh. He stinketh. See, 4 days is very important because Jewish believers believed that after 4 days, your spirit would depart. So your spirit and the life was no longer there. And on the 4th day, Jesus comes out and goes to that cemetery and says, Lazarus, come forth. This is a day of the resurrection of dreams and lives. Okay? This is your day for the resurrection of dreams and your life. The thing is, Lazarus came forth, he had life, but no movement. Jesus says to those around him, take off the grave clothes. Take off the things that are restricting the movement, because he has life, but take off these. And here's the thing, folks. The Lord is about to change. The Lord is not interested in changing your ministry as he is about changing your mindset. That's the first thing that he's going to do this year. Most of you who are part of this fellowship are going to undergo and experience a change in your mindset. Okay? It's not changing ministry, because changing mindsets will often lead to changing ministry. As a man thinks in his heart, so he will become, Proverbs says. That's the first thing that the Lord is about to remove from you. Because for years you have had life, but you've been restricted in this church. For years you've kind of bounced maybe about the 100 mark in terms of people on a good day and probably your best year, maybe 120, 130, and then bounced straight back down to maybe 70 people. Why is that? Because you've no changed your mindset. There's favor awaits this house this year, miracle growth beyond what you've experienced. But you need to change, know your ministry, you need to change your mindset. Okay, so that you're not ministering from a place of where everybody else is ministering from, you're ministering from a place of revelation. God has given you the ark. You know that, I've spoken to you, some of the guys before. It's bigger than that, guys. You watch what God will do in the ark this year. You will see more and more lives changed and transformed, and the reports and the stories from that place will go further afield in the city, where the point where people will bring their other pals living in addiction to that place, and they will be set free. Movement of what else? Here's the other thing. This year, God is going to give you some buildings. Okay, there's some buildings coming. And you might say, John, we're not financially in a position to get those buildings. It's not about where you financially are or not. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if God wants to give you buildings, he will give you the finance to upkeep them. You ever found that? God always gets what he pays for. Always does. Not does he always get what he pays for, but he always maintains and keeps what he gives. Again, this is the whole favor thing. Sometimes we think, yeah, God can give it, but we'll not be able to keep it. We'll not be able to afford it. God gives it, you'll keep it. God gave Israel the promised land thousands and thousands of years ago, and they might have been exiled until 1948 again, when the Nadea nation was brought forth through the United Nations, but it was always still their land. Promise always stood. God gave it, and God kept it from him. Here's the other thing. This year, we will see seismic shifts in our city in terms of construction. That is the place we will see it in the natural, first of all. Seismic shifts in the construction industry of our city. And I'm not just talking about people building houses and flats and all that sort of stuff. I'm just talking about the infrastructure will grow. And between now and April this year, you'll see many newspaper headlines saying the infrastructure's creaking, the infrastructure's cracking, the infrastructure can't bear the weight of what is in terms of traffic and transport and everything else. And there's going to be a lot of new projects, and there's going to be the promise of money, and there's going to be arguments in the newspapers of where this money is going to come from. And that is all a sign of what God is about to do in this city. In this nation. See, God has an infrastructure. And like I say, the tsunami, the plates have hit. The wave is coming. You need to realign yourself and position yourself as a church to embrace the people that God is bringing. The people you wouldn't normally connect with or embrace, you need to be willing to do that. Because that's what's coming, guys. There's incredible favor over this household. There's incredible favor. There's favor coming in worship. Okay, you've been praying. I don't know anything. It's not as I've spoke to Alan. But there's favor coming in the area and arena of worship. And that which has been a source in the past of tension and strain and even division, you will see this year God bring a grace and a favor to bring healing in that whole area, where God will move and bring healing in that area, and where the worship will be more pure this year than it's been any other year. But God will add worship people to you. Sylvia and Rick, I know, are from Aberdeen, so it's good that they're here. Didn't they know Sylvia and Rick were coming here today? Last October, September, October, God spoke to me about Aberdeen. And it was with the movement of Andrew Owen moving up there for Destiny in Glasgow. And Andrew Owen's now based partly up there and partly down here. But from the north, there's coming a voice to this nation. Okay? God is raising up voices in the north of Scotland that will affect and influence what he's wanting to do. And it'll bring strategic apostolic wisdom. Look for the fathers in the north. God is raising up fathers. Okay, and I'm not specifically talking about Andrew. I'm talking about the geographical area. That God is raising up fathers. It says in the Proverbs, by wisdom a house is built. By understanding it's established. And through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful things. There's an apostolic wisdom coming from the north that will help facilitate and steward this move that God is bringing well in our nation. Not just the north, but I see to the north of you, I see to the, like the Shetlands and the places like that, and the islands, there's a fire coming from there. And the Lord is raising up, I see, as I look at you guys, I see a group of younger people. I'm not saying God just works through younger people. God's a multi-generational God. But I see a group of younger people gathering around you guys. Okay, that you've to mentor. Okay? There is incredible favor coming for you in the Nordic Scandinavian countries, Rick. Okay? You've experienced favor there in the past, but that's going to grow this year exponentially. I'm going to throw this in as well. This year and the years beyond, God's going to open up a door to Africa. You don't like hot places, but God is opening up that door. Your God's going to connect with some incredibly instrumental people in the nations in the subcontinent of Africa, okay? And God's going to connect you with people there, and the ministry going to open up there as well. Also, Central Europe, Germany, Holland is going to begin to open up to you, okay, in increasing measure. And sort of like the Latvian countries, not just Latvia, but all those kind of Eastern Bloc, former Eastern Bloc countries, God is going to be able to open up doors there as well. And here's a sign of that favor. You're going to hear reports of God moving in one place, and then somebody from that place will connect with you and say, can you come? That's already happening. But it's going to happen increasingly more. But I prophesy and declare to you that it will happen at least between 60% increase in that happening, where you will hear of things and reports and people for that nation you don't even know, you don't even know how they've got your number, how they've got anything, will connect with you. Okay, I know also you're connected with John Paul Jackson very much, you do the streams. This year, John Paul himself will experience a paradigm shift in somebody's thinking in terms of the way he's doing ministry and the way he's reforming and restructuring. He's going to reform and restructure a whole lot this year, running about his ministry, where he's going to give more away, and as he gives it away, God's going to multiply it through his hands. You see, there's a major shift. In fact, God's going to begin to speak to him, has been speaking to him, since the 1st of January, and over the next 3 months, God's going to begin to download to John Paul just incredible revelation that will revolutionize not just his life, but a whole change, not in terms of the full ministry, but a change in terms of thinking and the way he's doing some things. Favor, guys, I'm not going to ask you, do you want it? Because whether you want or not, it's yours. I'm going to ask you, and receive it. Also, this city is in for its best days. Glasgow will flourish again by the preaching of his word and the praising of his name. There is no doubt. People are looking for salt. No literal salt, you know what I mean. People are desperate for some source of light. People who are just like Rahab, try to piece everything together for what they've heard, bits and snippets for the TV, for the Daily Record, maybe readings, for Christians they met years ago. They need us to show up and to bring the presence and to make clear that which is unclear to them so they can turn from serving idols to the living God. Alan, this year, I said this to you when we met with you, over the next 18 months, you're not going to know yourself. Okay? And let me tell you some things that I never said to you. One, you've been talking about going and doing a weight loss program. You're going to be, in 18 months' time, you're going to be a whole lot thinner than you are now. A whole lot healthier. That's not to say you just let God do it. It's not a sort of, but you, in terms of your voice, in terms of your influence, in terms of your fruitfulness and effectiveness, if you to pursue the course that you're doing over the last few weeks, you will see the end result. And that's just the beginning. That's not, it's the end of that chapter, but it's the beginning of a whole new chapter of fruitfulness and effectiveness and being an influence in the nation. Guys, if you need healing today, I'm not going to call it words of knowledge. If you need healing, just stand and you'll be healed. I don't know what your symptoms are, what your... I don't need to know. God knows. So, Father, I want to thank you for your favor and your power. And I declare healing over every body, over every mind right now in the name of Jesus. Take authority over every sickness, every condition, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Some of you are going to need to test it out. If it's a back condition, test it out. Because God is here to heal.